Northfield Area Fire and Rescue Service Fire Chief, Mr. Tom Nelson. How you doing, sir?
Doing well. Good morning to you both.
Good morning to you, sir. Yeah.
And so, Tom, we got to know, what's your opinion on the monkeys?
Yeah.
I walked in and said, as I was driving in, it's like they can't still be milking out talking about the monkeys.
I've got a lot to say about the monkeys, man.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Clearly.
And your opinion is?
Oh, it's a made-up TV band.
Yeah, there you go.
It's like putting them in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is like putting garage band.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, no,
guitar hero.
It's just fake. Come on, move on.
Okay.
Is Casey and the Sunshine Band in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame yet?
No, and they probably don't belong there.
No, probably not.
But although, I mean, you can make the case. I know people that would absolutely make that case.
Yes.
But we digress because we have more important things to talk
about.
That's
right. I think that the Hall of Fame has been filled enough today, this morning, on the airwaves.
So. Yes.
So, we didn't have a joint powers meeting this month, typically.
How come?
I started putting the agenda together, and I think I mentioned last time that the board is really trying to help say, if we don't need to meet, let's not meet, which I love. It's like, instead of a meeting, can an email do?
Yeah.
You get a rush from
that?
Oh,
my God. Well, when I sent out the email that said, we don't really have any action items, Charlene is going to send out a cancellation. I could just hear board members go, yes! The gift of time.
And,
As Monty love Python would say, and there was much rejoicing.
There was.
Yes.
So, yeah, so we didn't have a lot of stuff that we needed to talk about. So I always come in the Thursday after that meeting, which would have been last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I always go through this thing where it's like, oh, gosh, I'm on the radio tomorrow. I got to set my alarm for 6:30.
And you love this.
When is that alarm usually going off for you?
Oh, 7 is fine because I have to be in at 8.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
So, but the phone starts ringing at 7:30 because people are calling for inspections and things. So
how often do you get called to something before the alarm goes off, though? Like, that's got to be a fairly regular occurrence,
sure,
too.
Yeah. I mean, it was yesterday.
Oh.
We had a call where they burnt, they were using a smoker up at St. Olaf and forgot to turn off on the exhaust hood in the kitchen.
Whoopee.
So, you know.
Were using a smoker indoors?
Well, no, it's like a special one that is actually worked and designed and operated correctly. You have to turn on the exhaust fan, right? Or bad things can happen. So anyway, yes, occasionally we do get awoken for that. But one thing that we can, I think, nail the coffin for at least a while is grass fires.
Mm.
We've had enough so far in the past couple months. We've started tracking and invoicing people who have burns that get called in by somebody and they don't have a permit, or if they have a permit and they didn't activate it or call the dispatch center, or if it got out of control.
Right.
And I think that we sent out 10 invoices.
Did you really?
Between April and May so far, about people that were burning without a permit, out of control, or stuff they shouldn't be burning.
You know, you were on this radio station a month ago talking extensively about why people shouldn't do that. Logan did a story on that, and then when Logan was gone, I did a story on it too. I mean, we're trying to inform people here. They're just not listening.
Yep. So it is what it is, but I think after 4+ inches of rain, we should be okay for a while. But just reminding people that you need a permit. We've had people, it's like, what do you mean? You mean on my own land? Yes. And I've talked with Dusty Deans at Faribault, the fire chief, and we talked about, you know, from our perspective, the main reason we have a permit is so fire doesn't get called.
Yeah.
And back to the whole do-gooder with a cell phone, somebody is going to call, right? I see it over there. I don't know where it is. Well, then we send the fire department.
Right.
So in the spirit of trying to continue to lower calls that we don't need to be there for, this time of year, open burning is a big one.
Yeah.
So if you have any questions, you can talk to, obviously, Dusty Deans at the Faribault Fire Station or me at NAFRS, and if you have any questions on that. So, but yeah, we've done a lot of that. Other things going on, I started thinking about what we could talk about today. I didn't actually do a bar napkin. I was going to do it on the back of an envelope. One of the things that made me think was about recurring dreams.
Yes. Okay,
follow. Work with me here, okay?
Okay. All right.
So
I don't have to be naked, do I?
No, underwear and school thing. Right, but we're talking about I have a recurring dream that it must be when there's a lot of stress going on, Burr, where it's someone hands you the guitar, or somebody walk on stage, here's the clarinet, do your solo, Rich. Come on, Ryan. Okay, now sing this thing. Remember, you're the solo. So it's that totally not prepared. And that made me think, well, you know, I think most people have, especially men, I think, are way guilty of it, is applying for jobs that you don't really have the qualifications to do.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we fake it.
Yes.
You
and I are perfect examples.
Well, totally. I'm still. So I thought we'd have a little fun and say, okay, right now you are both fire inspectors.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
And you're totally not qualified, right? Because you're going to do your solos here.
Okay.
And I thought what we could do in this time of year, there's a lot of events and gatherings and things. And I thought, well, why don't I throw out an occupancy, which means an occupancy is like, what's the space designed for?
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll walk through and think about walking through that front door. And what would you look at or look for? And you can put yourself in that person. I think it works best to say, if I were here or if I were here with my family or friends and something happened, what would we do? How would we get out? That's a real like primal one.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But then thinking about what can we do to prevent the incident from happening.
Right.
So let's start with a bar or restaurant, which we know is in Rich's wheelhouse over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And just think about a small bar or restaurant, and you walk in the door.
It's in Ryan's wheelhouse, too, by the way.
Well, I just was thinking the bar part.
Well, yeah, I mean.
Well, and you've worked in so many. It's like talking to Tony Irwin, who's worked in, or Malcolm Watt. You know, they've worked everywhere. Yeah. So you walk in the front, and you're like at the counter, and you're looking around.
Yep.
What things would you look at in a bar or restaurant, which is considered an assembly occupancy?
Right. The first thing I guess I'd look for is clutter, especially like collapsed or even not collapsed cardboard boxes sort of piled up somewhere.
Very good.
Thank you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's combustible storage.
Yeah.
And that's fire load. And it also can be literally a block in people's paths.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. In fact, I'm not going to mention the institution because they're in the Twin Cities. McCormick and Schmitzk. There was a habit of leaving all of the collapsed boxes, not taking them out to the recycling
bin. Right, put them by the back door, which is the exit.
In front of the back door.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not the wisest thing to do.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Ryan, what are you seeing when you walk in?
So I would definitely be looking for just anything that is around cooking equipment that could be potentially combustible or flammable, you know, anything like that. Especially when it comes to, like, I think about how cooks, you know, oftentimes they're wearing some type of, like, apron, right? But then they might also have some sort of, like, a little rag or something just to maybe, like, quick wipe up a spill or something.
Sure.
But if that's misplaced or not in an area, in an area that's close to them, and then they're standing next to like an open flame or something, you know, one wrong move, that thing, that rag could like catch on fire or something. So just how people are making sure that they're not combustible themselves.
Open flame.
Flames, you know, making sure that you're keeping your space, your work area clean, especially in a kitchen with fryers and open flames and all these things.
Did you ever see Happy Days?
No, I mean, little bits.
Tom, you saw, how did Arnold's burn down? Chachi forgot to turn off the grill and he threw a towel on top of the grill.
Yeah. Well, I've burnt hot pad holders.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I've set them on, you know, take an almond and set them and it's like, oh, well, I know what to do, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But, we've had people that have put Tupperware, I guess whatever the word is, Rubbermaid. People have stored them in the oven.
In the oven, right.
People, set it on there. So, but in commercial kitchens, it's the same way.
And I would add on to that. I think sometimes, especially when people have been in a business like that for so long and they're in an environment where they're very comfortable because they've worked in it for 10 years or whatever, they get almost a little too comfortable. And then sometimes they start to disregard the safety measures and things that you shouldn't do because they're like, oh, I'm fine. That's never happened to me.
Yeah. Well, it's there's not a lot of money in cleaning. You're right. Not making money when you're cleaning.
Right. Yeah.
No, it's...
Oh, built-up grease traps.
Ooh.
Yep.
That's a big one.
Well, we know about that one in Northfield pretty well, too, don't
yeah.
we?
Yeah. And so those are great things. Other mm-hmm. things that when I think of a restaurant or a bar to look at is everything now is plugged in, right?
Yep.
And, you know, you think of the point of sale, you think in the kitchen, they've got the thing that spews. It's not like you write the order on the thing and put it on that wheel and spin it around.
The ticket comes out of the right.
Dale Finger still does that at the quarterback where they're actually using paper. Right. But there's the whole thing that prints out the what you're going to order. So there's tons of electronics. And typically, there's tons of plug strips and electrical cords.
Yep.
Those are big ones of you can't... An extension cord is for temporary use, 90 days or less. That's the so low-hanging fruit of a fire inspector, no matter what the occupancy, but especially... Yes, right? 90 days or less.
That's brand new information. You can,
like, a plug strip is fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But people daisy chain them together, you know, not one, but let's have a bunch together. Mm-hmm. Or they put in, like, wire staples because they have an extension cord is not permanent wiring.
There's like tape specifically made for taping down an extension cord.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be there forever. Yep. There's those plastic, like, stepper things that are you put over an extension cord. Like,
yeah.
There's an entire industry built around using extension cords forever.
Yes, there totally is. Just like you can buy as many door stops as you want at the hardware store and put them on fire doors.
Oh, yeah.
So, yes. Okay. It's kind of like, I think of it more as the head shops back in the day is that it's not illegal to sell you a bong. It's illegal to use it, right?
So I have a question about that 90-day rule. So let's say if you're someone, I'm thinking like food trucks. Okay. Yep. So food trucks move around spot to spot to spot. So if they're always using extension cords, but they're not necessarily using them like consecutively, maybe, you know, for 90 days. They're,
right.
Maybe they use it for a festival for a weekend, then they take a few days off, then they go to another festival, use them again. Does that still kind of fall under that?
No, because they rolled it up and they put it in the truck.
Gotcha.
So every time you install it, it's a new 90 days.
Okay, so it's just as long as you're not plugging it in once and then just leaving it there.
Well, and what you'll see, now let's get back to the bars and restaurants thing, is that I'm looking at your KYMN neon sign.
Yes.
It's like, okay, that's plugged in to a receptacle. Good, okay. Yep. But think of how many places you've gone in that have bar signs.
Mm-hmm.
And the best example of how to do it correctly, because I was just there, was MGM Liquor in Dundas. Every sign that's, you know, they have signs all the way around the interior of the store. Mm-hmm. And there's a receptacle on the wall right next to it. But you'll also see plenty where you go in, it's like, oh, there's a bar sign. Cool. Where's the cord going? Into the ceiling tile.
Mm-hmm.
And in the ceiling tile, there's an orange extension cord that's 30 years old that's going across somewhere. And then you see it poke down and plug into an outlet in the wall.
That's true.
So those, and again, we're not, I don't get as concerned when we go into, let's say, the point of sale cash register place, when they've got a whole bunch of like, chargers for their phones or things like that. Those aren't high current.
Okay.
But I've seen it where it's like, let's run the cord through the ceiling and make it plug into those Belgian waffle flippers. Those are high current.
Yeah.
Or an appliance or a microwave. Those are the kind of things that extension cords are not set for those purposes. You need to put in a permanent outlet.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So that's a great, I think that's a great job, guys, of walking around. Obviously, the things are too, you're looking at exit signs.
Yep.
If there are more than 49 people that can fit in there, there needs to be two.
Mm-hmm.
They need to have panic hardware, or some restaurants, depending on the occupancy, will have the little sign that says this door must be unlocked, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the days are kind of over where I remember McDonald's when I was a kid. It'd be like at 10 o'clock, they'd lock the doors.
Yep.
because they didn't want anyone else coming
in.
So you'd go, okay, your friends, you're trying to leave. Oh, the manager's got to come and unlock that door. Nope. You'll see, now you'll see maybe a flipper, one of those levers that you push. So still, you can always get out.
I am so guilty of having done that at establishments where I've worked.
Oh yeah, no, it happened all the time.
And you know, it's you got your regulars that are left, and you got to get out. Okay, hang on, I'll get the key.
Well, yeah, but then it's like, when does the fun happen? It's like at bar close, right?
Those are some good times.
Yes, and those are probably the most dangerous. So I think pretty much those days are gone. And, so you'd also be looking at, how are people going to get out? We talked about blocking the stairways and things like that.
Yeah.
Another one that's important, I think, is let's say you're going to go see your mom or your grandma, and you go into an assisted living or let's just say an independent living apartment.
Sure.
Those are everywhere.
Yeah.
And they're all multi-story. They're normally wood construction, but think about what things you would be looking at, let's say as a potential where you might have mom or dad or grandma move into. What features would you be looking at in your little fire code? You know this now because you've done the solo once at the bar restaurant. So now we're going in and looking at another occupancy, which is R2 multifamily, whether it's an apartment or independent living. What things are you going to be looking at as a code official to say, what makes this place safer than the other apartment or assisted living or independent living that we're looking at for mom?
Is there a fire extinguisher near the kitchen?
Good.
Yeah. Because you're talking about the unit itself.
Well, walking in the door. As you walk in the door, you're thinking, how are people going to get out?
Oh,
How's mom, grandma, whatever going to get out?
Sure.
So a lot of it is you're looking at some of the stuff right before you even get to the unit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would say definitely having exit signs, making sure just like to guide people's path in an emergency. Fire extinguishers in hallways for sure.
Is there a code on stairwells as far as like, do they have to be a certain width?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so come at it this way, thinking that, whenever this building was built, the codes were followed on the construction side.
Yeah.
Sure.
But I'll throw out a little softball is, what are the fire protection features in the building?
Is there a sprinkler system?
Perfect.
Okay.
Durr.
Yep.
There it is.
Yes.
Going along with a sprinkler system is also, how do you let people know?
Yep.
Fire
alarms. Oh, alarms. Yes. Yes. In the hallways.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. They're obnoxious, but they work.
Yep.
Yeah, they do.
And what I look at too, and I'm tall enough and you are both tall enough, is, and I said to Marilyn that I'm not going to mention Marilyn and I'm not going to mention Townie today at all. So
Where'd you go to high school?
No, I'm just not going to mention that yet. So you're tall enough is I reach up and I push the little test button on the exit sign.
Oh.
Because I want to see that the little headlights that are on most of them, because you have to have emergency lighting for 30 minutes, and you have to have exit signs that are on for 30 minutes. I'll push the little button.
Sure.
So most of the time I'll look and say, well, that one's one of the LED ones. That's in good shape. But when I see, remember the old ones that looked like tractor headlights?
Yeah.
And the batteries were like probably a tractor battery?
Right.
Those never work. Because it takes so much energy to light those tractor lights. You'll maybe get 3 minutes of them.
Okay.
So when anyone says, oh, well, I got to get a new battery, I say, just replace it. Because they're so efficient now, the LED exit signs, you can see them forever. They'll last for 10 years. Mm-hmm. Don't bother. So I push the little button on the exit sign.
Oh. There you go.
So one thing, too, now about apartments and independent living is think of the corridors that are in the inside.
Okay.
What is that corridor for, aside from bringing your groceries in? If there's an emergency, what's the corridor going to be used for?
Getting out.
Getting out.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things that we find when we go in is the doors to each apartment, whether it's an apartment building, a college dorm, an independent and assisted living. The only place where it doesn't have to be this is in a hospital or true nursing home. The doors to the hall have to close and latch.
Oh.
I went to one apartment building a couple years ago, my first trip, and I usually say, no, I don't need to look in every unit because somebody will stick their head out and say, what are you guys doing out here? So I went into this place and it was like, oh, what are you guys doing? I said, oh, cool. Can I look and just see your smoke alarm? Yeah, you have a smoke alarm. And then I said, let me check this door. And it just stayed open.
Hmm.
And I looked, and on the back of the door, there were screws, holes, okay, where the door closure had been removed.
Oh, dear.
So that's the fire rating between your unit and the exit corridor.
Okay.
So I went further down the hall with the facility manager. Every one of them was removed.
Oh, man.
Then we went down to the maintenance room and found 3 5-gallon buckets of door closures.
Oh!
And it turned out that the previous facilities person said, oh, the residents were complaining because it was difficult to get in and out with groceries or laundry or their walker. So that's like a key one for me is you've got to be able to protect the corridor.
Yeah.
And sometimes there's rugs in those units where, you know, how the door rubs on it. So that's what killed multiple people in the Twin Cities about 10 years ago in that high rise.
Yeah.
Public housing was doors propped open, fire in a unit that was unsprinklered at that point. There was rugs involved and things. The door's got to close and latch. That's what keeps you safe.
Okay. Interesting.
There you go.
All right. That's good to know.
So let's talk a little bit about outdoor assembly events.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
So it's that time of year.
Getting to be that time of year. Exactly right.
And the same thing would be for big, let's say you're going to a graduation in some gym somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
As code officials, you should be looking at, again, the same things apply. Exit signs, emergency lighting. It doesn't happen as much anymore, but it used to be. I remember going, you know, if you go to church on Christmas or Easter, the ushers would be like, let's get some more chairs, and we'll fill the aisles with chairs.
Yeah.
So when you're going to these things, you're looking at exit widths. Aisle, you know, between the rows of chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you're looking at, I'll be in the middle, let's say in the middle of the hall, I'll look around and just say, how are we going to get people out of here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's your spidey sense too, because like I said, the building should have been designed to get everyone that they can fit in there out with exits.
Right.
But a lot of times what'll happen is there's these back of house exits.
Yep.
Let's say on the stage, whatever you want to call them, the wings, they loaded all this stuff in, right? Mm-hmm. Chair carts, the music, the band, the bleachers, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. Let's put all that those crates there because those are, you know, that's storage.
Yeah.
Say something. Look at it. If it's somewhere else, call their local fire department. You know, you get past the event, they're not going to move it today, but just say, take a picture and say, I was at graduation at Bob's High School, and this is what I saw, and I thought you'd want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Or let the superintendent know, or, you know, someone at the college. But those are the things that I really want people to look for, is have that code official hat on when you're in these venues and at these things. Outdoor concerts, right? Let's put a big fence around the whole thing. We've talked about the changes now at Defeated Jesse James Days at the Entertainment Center.
Yep.
There used to be one way in and one way out.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, if something happens, someone drops a bottle rocket or, you know, something like that, there's panic. So code says there has to be ways out even in those fenced events. So look at how you'd get out and come up with a plan. And that makes you a helper, as Mr. Rogers' mom said when he asked his mom, you know, look for the helpers.
Right, right.
So situational awareness.
I'm sitting here thinking this is Tom Nelson saying, help me help you.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So
there it is.
Great.
Wonderful. Right. I hope we filled the time. Oh, we sure filled did. The
My
time.
Lord,
we
sure yeah. Too. I've got questions that I don't want to ask right now because we've lost time, but or run out of time.
But you know, I'll be back next month.
That's
Thank
right.
Goodness.